while in this world, I think I'll take my whiskey neat, my coffee black and my bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. I take my whiskey neat, my coffee black and my bed at three.
Chapter 3. Hello Kitty Band-Aids. Living with Jean is awful. There's really no other word for it. Jeremy suspects it would be easier if he could hate the other man, or if he cared less about everyone all of the time. Because it hurts to watch someone fall apart so frequently and be so useless to do anything about it. It was almost easier in the beginning, when Jean looked through him like he didn't matter and answered in one-word answers, monotone, always bored and dismissive. Jeremy thought things would get easier when Jean relaxed enough to open up, but he should have known better. The sustained trauma of years of abuse, is it catching up with Jean now that his brain senses that it's safe enough to cope with it? And Jeremy's never hated anything in his life, but now he hates. A constant rage burns in his chest, chewing at his focus and his patience, peaking as blinding white-hot hatred that's so violent it leaves him shaking. He's never felt this strongly before, this negatively. He's the captain of the Trojans for a reason, and he's glad they won't face the Ravens on the court for a handful of months more, because he wouldn't stop at a red card. He'd probably kill the first Raven that even looked at Jean. More exhausting than the rage that his body wasn't made to feel is keeping a handle on it at all times. He can't let Jean see what he's feeling, because his new teammate won't be able to distinguish anger for his sake as different from being anger aimed at him. The trust between them is shaky at best, but shattering it would be devastating for Jean's recovery, and Jeremy will not be the reason for that. He won't. He's just so tired. So when he gets out of class with enough time to nap before dinner and practice, he's desperately relieved. Less so when he walks through the door to their suite and can feel that something is off. Looking around to see what's caught his attention, he finds the TV remote discarded on the floor, not the coffee table or arm of the couch, and there's a mostly eaten sandwich on a paper plate on the table instead. No Jean anywhere in sight. And he never once has left anything out of place. Jeremy's stomach sinks even as his veins tingle with that constant fire, and he sets out to search for Jean. He's easy enough to find. The light in their bathroom is on, the door not completely shut. And Jeremy knocks and waits for a moment. Getting no answer, he pushes inside, and there's the anger right on cue. He stuffs it down in his chest, swallowing it like bile, and crosses the floor to kneel across from Jean. Jean's curled up in the corner against the edge of the shower, strands of his hair tugged out and looped around his fingers, which are now digging into his cheeks as his frame shakes with silent sobs. Jean, he doesn't look up, doesn't make any indication that he's heard Jeremy. It's not surprising, but it's also not good, because Jeremy can't touch him to bring him back. Instead, he goes to the kitchen and pours a glass of orange juice, stops and grabs his backpack and brings it all back into the bathroom, settling down on the cold linoleum, back against the cupboards. He puts the juice down next to Jean. He'll see it if he opens his eyes, and he'll smell it if he takes a deep enough breath, and maybe it'll ground him a little. Until then, he pulls out his current book for lit class and starts reading it aloud, pausing to add in his comments when the characters do anything particularly stupid, or centuries-dead authors use unnecessarily complicated sentences to get their point across. and he watches Jean slowly relax over time. It's not until Jean looks up, eyes blinking repeatedly, like they haven't focused back on his actual surroundings yet, that Jeremy actually notices the blood on his face. "Why are you bleeding?" Jean swipes at his cheek and stares down at the blood on the back of his hand. He jerks his shoulders up in a shrug, gestures with the bloody hand at his right cheek. "Wanted it gone." Even the three words look like they cost him effort. He carefully picks up the glass, hands too shaky to properly hold it. But he gets most of the juice in his mouth and carelessly wipes off his chin with his shirt. On days like this, Jeremy actually wishes Rico wasn't already dead, because Jeremy would like to kill him himself. He doesn't know anything specific, because Jean doesn't talk after breakdowns, and doesn't talk about anything important any other time, and Kevin tells him through omission more than honesty what went on in their shared past. Jeremy doesn't need to know the details. This is enough to make him want to kill. But Jean needs gentleness after a life full of violence, even if violence is probably easier for him to process and handle. And Jeremy will force himself to be strong for as long as it takes. He reaches up to run the tap and wet a cloth, gesturing at Jeremy's face. "Can you clean the blood off, or do you want me to do it?" After a few moments, Jean jerks his chin at Jeremy in one quick nod, an offer. Jeremy's careful, hesitant to cause more pain. But Jean doesn't look like he even feels it. He only blinks back to something resembling life when Jeremy is done, pulling his collection of band-aids in a gallon-sized plastic bag out of the side pocket of his bag. "Hello Kitty or SpongeBob?"
"What?"
Jeremy shrugs. "Hello Kitty goes better with your complexion," he decides inanely, peeling out a few of the wrappers. He dabs them with Neosporin just in case there was any dirt under Jean's fingernails, and smooths them across Jean's face. The pink band-aids neatly cover the tattoo, and Jeremy smiles a bit. It's not the right way to go about things, but maybe band-aids can be a temporary fix for a permanent problem. He pulls out his phone and snaps a picture rather than making Jean stand to look in the mirror. "See?" Jean looks down at the phone for a long time, long enough that his hands stop shaking and his breathing returns to normal. When he hands the phone back, he's his usual self again, the self-assured asshole that the Trojans know too well. Only the band-aids and puffy pink around his eyes show anything is different from any other day.
"Merci,"
he says quietly. Then he pushes himself to his feet, picking up the glass and leaving Jeremy behind on the bathroom floor. The anger in his veins has quieted to an ache rather than a scorching heat. Jeremy can make a difference. He isn't useless. And in a few months, they'll trounce the Ravens on the court, no matter what it takes, hurting them in the only way they can be hurt. When Jeremy leads their team to first place this year, he won't be doing it for the right reasons, for the love of the game and a shared victory. He'll be doing it to avenge one person. But that's another kind of love, after all. It's nothing more than a band-aid to briefly cover up all that Jean has suffered. But Jeremy has loads of band-aids, and loads of time.